Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
How much of an impact does a great leader have on a company's growth? That's the age-old question, isn't it? Well, the next company that we're featuring, their founder and CEO, has been named the top 50 financial technology CEOs, according to the Financial Technology Report. The global companies represented on this year's award list include those who have deployed innovative ways to improve financial processes for consumers and businesses alike. Notably, they have focused on making financial services more accessible using advanced AI and machine learning to remove traditional roadblocks and improve the speed and convenience of financial interactions. Now, under their CEO's leadership, Silent 8, which is the next company that we're featuring, has tripled in size and scale since early 2019, signaling the industry's appetite for AI and machine learning technology within the financial crime compliance space. In January of this year, Silent 8 announced a multi-year partnership with HSBC. That deal places Silent 8's alert resolution at the core of the bank's global FCC capabilities. So how did they manage to achieve this in, well, quite a short span of time? On the line with me is Martin Markiewicz, who is founder and CEO of Silent 8. Martin, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for speaking with me. I understand you are in Poland right now.
Yes. It's still last week for me.
But you guys are fully vaccinated by now, right? Or almost fully vaccinated?
Well, 50-50. Oh. I'm after my first job, waiting for the second one. You know, still in the process.
All right. We're all just trying to get over that finish line. You know, the world trying to get vaccinated and get things back to normal. But you guys at Silent 8, great story. You're a technology company, of course. You leverage AI to create custom compliance models for the world's leading financial institution. It's all about empowering your clients in their fight to eliminate financial crime. I suppose to get to know Silent 8, could you share with us how you guys help clients detect and fight financial crimes? And if you can, who's on your clientele list?
Yeah, sure. Like, I listened to your intro just now, and I must say it sounds really impressive. I didn't notice all this stuff. Like, you know, like when you're actually doing that, it doesn't feel so glamorous. Like, but only after you get like a 1 minute introduction like this, I was like, oh wow, we actually did all that. So that's also a small surprise for me too. But in terms of what we're trying to do, when we set up in Singapore, we had this plan to build this big global company and to change this like a financial, you know, like financial industry a bit. So we're looking at the whole financial crime problem. So we're looking at all these bad people moving dirty money through the financial system and doing a lot of bad things, you know, like human trafficking and terrorism, like all this stuff. And we were just thinking, like, can we, out of like, as a small startup out of Singapore, try to do something about it? Mm. And we figured that maybe if we're looking at these financial institutions and we're looking at they're making millions of decisions around, you know, like around like what to do with in certain cases every year, what if we could somehow create a machine that would help them make these decisions better? And then, of course, we would have to go out and go to a very big financial institutions and also convince them that using this machine would be an actually good idea. We went out and tried to do it. We started with Standard Chartered in Singapore, and that's where our first big global project actually started. Then we have a few other customers, like HSBC came along. Now we'll be announcing a few very big deals like in upcoming 2 months. So yeah, we tried to build something. It worked out, and now we're trying to make it a global standard.
I'm a lawman myself, and I love the fact that we can use technology to fight crime. I suppose to help us understand a little bit better, maybe you can give us an example of one particular type of financial crime and how AI and technology helps to counter this particular financial crime.
So there's plenty of examples, but I'll maybe give you something very, very simple.
Okay.
So like every time we're wiring money, so every time you make a transfer, if you would try to make a transfer to, let's say, some sanctioned country like North Korea or something like this, this money should not leave your account and leave the bank and go to North Korea, right? Like this is something that if you have some economical sanctions, they are in place to make sure that we don't have to use military force. We try to like create some economical pressure to avoid war and, you know, like and all this bad stuff. So just to make sure that money are not going to wrong places like this, like, you have to, in real time, take a look at every money transfer and just see if it's going to the place that it can go, or maybe it should be stopped. If you think about how many transfers like this are going through our financial system, if you're doing all this work with people, it's very easy to miss something. So this is one of the examples that a machine can come in and try to, and, you know, and help automate this decision-making process just to make sure that money is not leaking through the system and going into place where it shouldn't go and creates a lot of damage, you know, like that could be avoided. So there's plenty of examples like this, and I just gave you one that's super simple.
Oh, that's a great example, Martin. And honestly, if I wired money to North Korea, I'd be worried the FBI come down the air vent and I'll be in big trouble.
That's what we would all hope. But look what happened in the past, like, you know, a decade. Like, how many banks got caught actually moving money like this and making these mistakes and getting caught, you know, like, after already it was all done and all the funds were already used for, like, you know, like, bad purposes and all the damage was already done. So, like, after this happened, it's already too late. You know, we are all in trouble. But, you know, but the whole game here is not to make these mistakes that used to be made in the industry and moving forward, just like bulletproof everything. Like, we all want to have like good lives and make sure the bad guys stay where they should stay, not help them do what they do.
Fair point. Does the global lockdown situation over last year, and now it's partial in different parts of the world, work from home is the new norm. People want to work from home even more. Studies that say they don't want to go back to the office. Is that making it worse? Is that making financial crime rise?
Unfortunately, yes. This is the problem. It's not only making all this financial crime rise, but it's also made it harder for the good guys to defend all of us. Like, this is something that the pace where the people who are here motivated by all these, you know, like, by all the bad actors, when you look at their motivation, they're adapting very fast. They're changing their ways. They're moving fast. They're just trying to use every opportunity to do their stuff. And when you look at this huge shock that went through our world and how financial institutions were adjusting, for some processes that were very hardly based on, you know, like on labor or coming to the office, doing some checks, like doing some things manually, all this stuff had to change almost overnight. And, you know, like, this was also something that was exploited by the bad guys along the way. So that's why in our case, this whole system, this whole situation actually increase the demand for our software. So this is where a lot of financial institutions came to us and say, like, look, the problem is right now bigger. Can you come in and help? Because, like, we require some new solutions because the old ones were just not made for a disaster like this.
And you guys have done so much in such a short period of time. I mean, you tripled in size and scale since early 2019. You yourself, Martin, have been named among the top 50 financial technology CEOs globally by the Financial Technology Report. And this, of course, you know, all down to efforts that you've done to ensure the company grows at a fast pace. For you, what was your secret to success? What is your philosophy?
I have no idea. I also don't know why I got this award. That's really awesome, but, you know, like, I have no idea how it all happened. Like, we had this clear, like, one thing that I know some of the things that we didn't want to do. Like, we started in Singapore, but we had this idea of being a global company. Like, so we didn't want to be the best in Singapore or the best in Southeast Asia. We're out of Singapore, but we're aiming for a global presence, like, from day one. So we made a lot of this type of decisions that a bit put us on the right path. So when, you know, like, when some luck happened along the way, we're already like looking in the right direction. We were already trying to move in the right direction, and you know, like, all these opportunities around, like, just create this, like, additional acceleration in this direction. So I think that it's just us trying to think big and just trying to go after a problem that was really not solved before we showed up. So, like you could say, like, if you're looking at the problem like this, it's probably something hard to solve. So we're already looking at something that's hard to solve. We're already trying to go after the biggest financial institutions in the world. It's kind of ambitious for a small company, like, from day one. and, you know, like, and doing what we're doing. Just so we were trying to do a lot of things that were very, very hard from the start, and not trying to, like, make it like a normal step-by-step over 30 years, but just trying to pull something almost impossible in a very short period of time. So the fact that it worked out, I have no idea why.
Well, to be fair, you know, if you're going to fight the bad guys, you got to do it fast. You can't afford to wait too long. One of the good things that happened as well, Silent 8 completed a new round of early-stage funding. This was in October 2020. It brings the company's total capital raise to $15 million. Could you share more about this with us, and perhaps tell us your plans for the funds?
Mainly like R&D. So we're looking at this that it's just like we have really amazing technology right now, but I don't want us just to be guys who are selling something that worked long time ago. Or okay. Yeah, like we just want to be cutting edge all the time. Like we're looking at how we're just, although everything works and, you know, like, and it works very well, we as authors of the whole thing, we're just looking at, there's so many places that we could improve. And you know, like, and the fact that as an author you see something like this, you just think like, we have to push, we have to improve, and we have to make it better and better. Like the bad guys that we're trying to, you know, like the defend us from, they're not resting. Like once they got bounced off from the financial system, once, you know, like a police riot at someone's offices and arrested some people and everything, they will try to adjust too. So we're just thinking, okay, like let's raise this bar even more to make all these efforts that they're doing either almost impossible or so expensive that they make no sense.
Yeah, it is. It is really that kind of an industry. And you guys also have announced a multi-year partnership with HSBC. I know there's not a lot you can tell us about, and you've got more announcements coming along the way, but whatever you could share with us, would you mind letting us know?
Sure. Like that's a part of our strategy. So we're thinking that the way to create like a new standard in our industry is just to start working with like the biggest financial institutions out there. Like just not to go for like a small project in some kind of like a small bank on a small scale, only one use case or something like this, but to start cooperating with the biggest financial institutions, like with them, cooperate only on global end-to-end projects that cover all their business lines, all the, like their whole footprint, like everything. Because this is the only way to work with all the regulators that we need to work, this only way to like really like bulletproof the whole thing. So for these type of announcements for us, are like a very important milestone, because like we're showing everyone else, like in the financial system, like, hey, stuff like this is actually possible. We're not, you know, like it's not that we just have to repeat of what we were doing for the past 20 years and just make just small increments of that of 5% every year, like, you know, like a bit better. You can really make a leap, make it 1,000 times better just by using technology.
I wonder though, and does blockchain cryptocurrency, is it a problem or is it a complete misuse of something that's supposed to be a solution?
Well, our technology can be used in this space, but we don't have any customers using this in this space right now. And this is just, it's not for us. It's unfortunately a choice that we made. We made this choice that we have to approach the financial market in some sequence. And we just decided to start with the, you know, like from our normal financial, you know, like a classical financial system and from the biggest financial institutions out there. So we're just thinking like we cannot go everywhere at once, not as a small company. So like let's start from the top to the bottom, like so we're on this path. So we're looking at this space and we're just waiting for regulators getting more interested in the space, getting more interested in what's happening there. Because the moment some requirements go up and some things are not longer like permitted, there's going to be a huge need for solutions to show up and to start solving the problems.
Yeah, that's actually why I asked you that question, because at the end of the day, while you're looking ahead and everything that you've got to deal with, you can't help but worry that something like that, like cryptocurrency, could creep around the side and it could be at the center of the next big financial crime.
Yeah, that's true. Like that's also the huge risk. That's why like I'm looking at this as something that we will have to be present in this market to also help, like, you know, like plug this hole and, you know, like and help these market participants like deal with compliance over there. But we cannot do it today. We cannot do everything at once. So that's something that, you know, like I've said, that we just have to grow a bit more. Like we just need another year and grow a bit to be able to handle more, you know, like more customers and more market share.
Fair point. I've been speaking with Martin Markovich, who is founder and CEO of Silent 8. Martin, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.